Welcome to Philosophy Raga, the video game podcast by the sometimes vaguely philosophical mage. It's the top-rated philosophy and gaming podcast I've ever done, as voted by a panel of bees. Each episode, I'll be discussing a game while sneakily teaching you about philosophy in hot little bite-sized chunks. Philosophy Raga is a production of the Well-Read Mage, a team of writers and gaming enthusiasts passionate about improving the quality of discourse and building a community where difference and discussion are encouraged by all. When they're not variously frolicking in magical woodland, delving in dark caves, or studying at the Academy's library, you can find the mages at thewellreadmage.com, the home of long-form critique and other in-depth written content. This wealth of thoughtful writing, along with audio content including Magecast, where the Well-Read Mage talks to an ensemble of mages, and side quests, in which the ABXY Mage and guests talk games, music, and much more, and of course Philosophy Raga, is made possible by the love and support of you, the audience, and through our crowdfunding campaign at patreon.com/thewellreadmage. To support our vision and receive exclusive rewards, please consider becoming a patron. You'll immediately gain magical powers and achieve all your dreams. With that, let's set some philosophy on fire. It's Philosophy Raga time. Let me ask you a question. You might think that philosophers are all about questions and very rarely actually come to an answer, and you wouldn't be all wrong, but, you know, I'm not a real philosopher anyway, and I happen to think this is quite an interesting question to start us off on this new show. Are you a good person? To be able to answer that, you actually have to be able to say two things. First, what does it mean to be a good person? And second, do you fit that description? A lot of games deal with this topic. Perhaps unsurprisingly. I mean, as interactive experiences that require the player to act and make choices, they're probably uniquely placed to explore morality. Am I assuming too much here, though? I've just gone and said that good or bad is about how the person acts. Is that what it means to be a good person? Your behaviour, your actions, the things you do? Well, it might not come as a shock that philosophers have been arguing about this very thing for centuries. Games, too, have a few different perspectives on what being good actually involves, and I thought we'd start with one of the most memerific, fandomabulous, leitmotifiest, squiffiest games out there. Undertale. Undertale is famous for a lot of things. It's got fourth wall-breaking bizarreness, it's got skeletons who want to take you on a date, it's got a whole village populated by a cappella singing dogs, one of whom is running an item shop in an effort to make enough money to go to college. It's also got a pretty cool morality system, and I'm afraid that much as I love all the other parts of the game, that's kind of exclusively what we're going to be talking about today. Like a lot of games, Undertale takes the stance that killing is bad and not killing is better. Its good and evil paths are known as the pacifist and genocide routes, respectively, and the thing that puts you on one or the other is basically just how much murdering you do. Now, I can't think of any philosophers who've ever seriously contended that murder is good, so as far as ways to delineate the nice way to play versus the not-so-nice, that's a reasonably uncontroversial one to go with. Where Undertale separates itself from other games is in the lengths it goes to explore the character traits, the personality that's implied by someone who's perfectly happy to do a bunch of, you know, involuntary third-party bucket kicking. It isn't just that the actions lead to a bad result, although that is part of it. It's that the game goes out of its way to tell you that you're not just doing bad things, you are a bad person. And it's also the fact that establishing yourselves in the game's eyes as a bad person is, well, it's kind of irreversible. It's not even just that you have to restart the game to undo all your murderiness and start afresh, but even on subsequent playthroughs, the game will remember that you are a bad person and will call you out on it forever. Unless you cheat by doing a fresh install or modifying data behind the scenes, but that's just uncharitable. So the question Undertale is asking isn't really what things or actions are right or wrong, so much as what kind of person is a good or bad person. This is an important distinction, so let's talk moral philosophy. All the way back in ancient Greece, which is, you know, a fair little while before Undertale came out, and obviously a super cool time and place because Assassin's Creed Odyssey is set there, Aristotle is credited with being one of the earliest people to talk about something called virtue ethics. Aristotle doesn't really want to ask, what are the rules that I should be following when I act, or anything like that. He's not looking to work out a formula that'll tell you what the right thing to do is in any given situation. Instead, what he's concerned with is the role of your character. For Aristotle, the right thing to do in a situation is the thing that a virtuous person would do. Helpful, right? Well, not really. We still need to work out what a virtuous person actually looks like, but the important distinction between what Aristotle thinks of as morality and what other theories might say is that the question's about the qualities of a person, not the qualities of an action. We'll take a look over the next couple of episodes at other theories of morality which focus on acting in accordance with duty, or acting in order to bring about a good result, a good consequence. Either way, there's a do with the actions, and not the person acting. It's more of a distinction than you might think, right? The only thing a game has to go on when it's deciding whether or not you're a good person is your actions. A game can't assess your virtues by reading your mind or allowing for context or extenuating circumstances. The only way you can tell a game about yourself is through acting. Undertale, though, and some of its characters even, take the step of judging you as a person, extrapolating from your actions the kind of personality and character traits that someone who would do those things might possess. The actions are important in this context, but only insofar as they tell the game what kind of person you are. Another good way of framing this might be by having a quick chat about Batman, as it turns out. Mark White and Robert Arp wrote a really interesting article in a great book called Batman and Philosophy, The Dark Knight of the Soul. The article's called Should Batman Kill the Joker? And it examines virtue theory, as well as those other more act-based ethical theories that we're going to talk about in future episodes. Arp and White suggest that someone who thinks that the ends justify the means, which is a simplification of a position we'll talk about later called utilitarianism or teleology, would say that Batman should kill the Joker. He would be taking one life to save thousands, millions even, so the benefits way outweigh the costs. A deontologist, which is someone who's concerned with the rightness or wrongness of the action in itself and not really bothered about consequences, would say Batman shouldn't kill the Joker because killing's just wrong and you should never do it. Meanwhile, a virtue ethicist would highlight the character of a person who kills and ask whether Batman wants to be the sort of person who takes his enemies' lives. By the way, there are other books in the popular culture and philosophy canon. I think they're on Humble Book Sale at the moment, although by the time this episode releases, they probably won't be, but check them out. To name just a few of them, because there's really quite a lot, you've got Final Fantasy in philosophy, which has some great stuff. There's The Simpsons in philosophy, and there's The Legend of Zelda in philosophy, which has the fantastic tagline, I link, therefore I am. Which, come on. Anyway, we were talking about being a virtuous person. There are people even today who would argue for a virtue ethics position, but still haven't quite worked out what the virtues actually are or what it means to live virtuously. They've got to the point of saying, okay, the important thing is being a person with good characteristics as opposed to acting in a particular way, but they haven't worked out what it means to have those good characteristics or what those ought to be. This has been going on for literally thousands of years, and no one's got there yet, so if you do have any ideas, I don't know, send them to Aristotle on a postcard through time, and I'm sure he'll be immensely grateful. Anyway, for Aristotle, virtue was about moderation. Imagine human characteristics on a kind of sliding scale. So for example, you've got the scale where at the lowest end you've got cowardice, and at the highest end is foolhardishness or recklessness or something. Foolhardishness? Foolhardiness. In the middle is courage, which is, you know, a good medium between those two extremes. Or say you've got the scale where at one end is being a total miser, and at the other end is giving away all your possessions until you don't have anything and you can't even feed yourself. In the middle of that scale is a moderate generosity. The thing that we use to do the moderating and work out what's in the middle is reason, which is the thing that Aristotle thinks of as kind of the distinguishing factor of humans. Actually, a lot of modern virtue ethicists also think that doing one's distinguishing function well, the thing that you're particularly good at, is the best way to be a good person because you're flourishing in the way that you're supposed to. So Aristotle starts out with a really general version of that principle, saying reason is the thing that all people are unusually good at compared to, you know, rocks and bison or whatever. And so that's the virtue that we should be trying to cultivate and using to guide us. He is aware, of course, that we have emotional drives and other reasons for acting that reason actually has nothing to do with, but he thinks of reason as shaping and guiding those away from excess or from pure instinctual dumbness to something useful, productive, and good. And that's good in all ways, including morally good. Meanwhile, in Undertale, there's also a sort of sliding scale, although I think Undertale's answer to which side of the scale you should be at is pretty clearly not moderation. Undertale's meter has at one end no murdering, and on the other end all the murdering, and in the middle, a little bit of murdering. It's only if you go the way to all the murdering and do a genocide run that the game will decide you're irrevocably evil and never forgive you, but the best ending and the best path is surely the pacifist route in which no one dies, even though it's much harder to do. Perhaps what's happening here is that the virtue on this scale is temperance or patience or something, and the pacifist run is actually considered an exhibition of moderation in that virtue because you're not simply sitting back and letting evil things happen, which would be being extremely temperate. You're actually taking steps to stop them, which moves you up into the middle somewhere. You're in the realms of justified action, but by not killing anyone, you stay away from the excessive end, which would be something like total impulsiveness, loss of control, evil, basically. At that end is losing all patience and taking what seems like the easy route, whereas if you exercise restraint and manage to leave everyone alive, that takes quite a lot of patience. And I've tried. I mean, I've played Undertale a couple of times, and I almost end up killing someone by accident, which I feel terrible about. And I also can't do the genocide run because the final boss is really hard. So I guess I'm just not very virtuous at all. Huh. Never thought about that. Anyway, while I rethink my life, something that I think is kind of interesting, just as a side note, is that I think quite often we can all be virtue ethicists when it comes to our own morality, but not when we're talking about other people. If we do something that we think of as being bad, in order to justify it to ourselves, we'll probably tell ourselves that we did it for the right reasons. We were acting on some, you know, less immediately apparent virtue that actually means we're not a bad person at all. We're quite happy, though, to judge other people on their actions without really considering anything beyond what we can see on the surface most of the time, I reckon. Maybe that's the strength of the virtue ethics point of view. If you cultivate the right characteristics within yourself, you kind of don't have to worry too much about what's right and wrong in specific situations. You just take your own reaction along with the whole situation, all the context, you assume that you've got the right kind of virtues and you're using reason to moderate those, and you go with that. Maybe we just need to remember that other people also have those contexts, and that we might not be able to see them straight away. As for objections to virtue theory, there are a few. The obvious one is it doesn't actually tell you how to be good without you having to do a fair bit of supplementary work to figure that out. Being morally good is a good person? Okay, sweet, so how do I do that? Aristotle and others since him have had some suggestions, as we've touched on. It also comes across a little bit self-centered because it focuses on you as an individual. You flourish and then you act in accordance with the virtues you've cultivated, which doesn't really consider how you might affect other people in doing that. Finally, it's maybe a little bit elitist. Not everyone has the time or resources to develop these virtues in their character, but maybe it would be more reasonable to give people a bit of simple guidance or rules about how to act, and then that'd be easier to follow. Maybe the virtues would naturally come from that. I mean, virtue ethics did start in ancient Greece, and they were kind of elitist. Sorry to break that to you, but philosophers were rich guys who had the time and education to write, writing for other rich guys who had the time and education to read. So maybe a little bit of elitism is to be expected. Undertale is a really powerful experience. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it comments on who you are as a person by actually changing the personality of the character you're controlling. Once you've begun acting terribly, the world will react differently to you, and all sorts of bad things will happen. Not just as direct consequences of the actions you make in that moment, but in response to the overall character you've been shaping through the game. In other words, it reacts to the virtues that you're demonstrating. The overall moral status of you, the player, as an agent, is shaped by the totality of the decisions you've made. Undertale knows this. It knows that not only have you done bad, you are bad, and it really goes out of its way to explore that. If you haven't played Undertale, you've got to play Undertale. This episode of Philosophyraga is not sponsored by Undertale. When I set out to make Philosophyraga, I wanted to keep it as a really bite-sized introduction to these ideas, not in-depth discussion or arguments so much as just, hey, here's what this thing is real quick. So, although you could talk for hours and hours about just virtue ethics, I hope that that's enough to give you a bit of a taste of what it's about, and maybe now you'll go off and learn about it in more detail from people who are more qualified than I am. I also wasn't sure when I set out that this would ever really become an actual thing, so I am, as ever, astonished and humbled that my friend and benefactor, Moses the Well-Read Mage, has asked me and allowed me to turn this into the actual released product that you're hearing now. First episode, baby, 6 seasons and a movie. Thank you so much for listening. If you're still here, it means a lot to me, genuinely. I really hope that you might want to discuss some of the things that come up on this show, so check out the Well Reddit page, that's reddit.com/r/thewellreddit page, where I'll be posting discussion threads for each episode. You can also have insightful discussions with me at 280 characters or less a pop, I'm at overthinkery1 on Twitter, and if you really want to talk shop, then become a Warrior of Light, a patron of the Well Read Mage. That'll give you access to our Discord channel Mage Chat. It's where all the mages and warriors talk about all sorts of stuff, and it's a really good place to be part of. I'll leave you with a little question to get your thinking juices flowing. What do you think are the qualities of a good person? In this episode, we've covered that acting in a morally good way is distinct from being a morally good person. So for now, just think about what you think it means to be a good person. If virtue ethics is correct, if the important thing is your character, not your specific actions, then what are the virtues that we should be trying to cultivate? thank you very much for joining me for this episode of Philosophy Raga. It's the historic first episode. There will be more, unless something terrible happens, so thank you for joining me. Philosophy Raga is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Durston, with invaluable help from my consulting producer, Moses Norton. All the music you hear during the episode is by me, and the show's logo is by Moses Norton, with graphic design from By Wisdom Designs. The show is part of the Magecast family, and if you enjoy listening to in-depth discussion about games, then my sister podcasts Magecast and Sidequests are definitely for you, and you should go and listen to every episode right now. The Well-Read Mage's dream of a better future for gaming discussion and community is made possible by your support, so please do give Philosophy Raga a like, follow, review, or share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your guinea pig. And if you consider supporting us with a monthly pledge of any amount at patreon.com/thewellreadmage, I will personally ascend to the summit of a cloud-topped mountain and chant your name until the universe itself is forced to acknowledge you. Well, this particular flame might be turning to embers for now, but the fire of wisdom never dies. See you next time.